Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Aletheia Church. Aletheia exists to make disciples who bring the truth, grace, and changing power of the gospel for the glory of God and the good of all people. To find out more or to connect with Aletheia Church, visit aletheia.org.
Hey family, today we are in week 3 of our teaching series in the book of Ecclesiastes called Chasing the Wind. And so if you have a Bible, I'd love for you to open it to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm going to read and then pray. And by faith, God is going to speak to us wherever we are and happen to be watching this. So join me, if you will, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear, a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceive that there is nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil, for this is God's gift to man. I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it nor taken from it. God has done it so that people fear before him. That which is already has been. That which is to be already has been, and God seeks what has been driven away. Moreover, I saw under the sun that in the place of justice, even there was wickedness, and in the place of righteousness, even there was wickedness. I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every matter and for every work. I said in my heart with regard to the children of man that God is testing them, that they may see that they themselves are but beasts. For what happens to the children of man and what happens to the beast is the same. As one dies, so dies the other. They all have the same breath, and man has no advantage over the beast, for all is vanity. All go to one place. All are from the dust, and to dust all return. Who knows whether the spirit of a man goes upward and the spirit of a beast goes down into the earth? So I saw that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his work, for that is his lot. Who can bring him to see what will be after him? This is the word of the Lord. Pray with me. God, I pray that in our time together, you would speak to us through your word. Show us, God, how to be wise with time. Teach us, God, not to be cynical and even to acquiesce to the most disbelieving parts of our nature, but Lord, give us the wisdom of Kohelet. Show us, God, what it means to trust you in every season, whether it's a good season or a tough one. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I have this app on my phone, and this app allows me to see pictures from that day, but a year ago, or 2 years ago, or 5 years ago. And this app goes back now, like 11 years, because that's about how long I've had a smartphone in my pocket. And I love this app. And I also hate this app. I love it because it often will bring up to me memories that I had forgotten, really precious moments with my family or great events in the history of our church or something like that. Also, it shows me how brief time is and how little of it I remember, even though I've lived a good bit. And because I'm a giant nerd, it reminds me of something from The Hobbit. In that book, Gollum, the character that has the ring, offers a riddle to trick Bilbo. And the riddle goes something like this. This thing all thing devours, birds, beasts, trees and flowers. Gnaws iron, bites steel, grinds hard stones to meal, slays kings, ruins towns, and brings high mountains down. And of course, the answer to the riddle is time. And when I go through this app, I can see time wearing things away. I can see time causing my children to grow up or causing me to get a few more wrinkles on my head. I can see things that I remember doing and things that I have left undone. It's that nature of time that Qohelet is talking to us about today. And so in the third chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, we see a chapter in three chunks, but I believe they all come together to teach us this one thing today, that only the sovereign, self-giving God can sustain us through every season. Only the sovereign, self-giving God can sustain us through every season. And in the face of time's relentless march, that's really good news. So let's start with the very beginning by thinking about the very end of that sentence. Life is seasonal. Time is seasonal. That's why we get this poem that shows up in the first eight verses of this chapter. To everything there is a season, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to harvest, a time to be angry, a time to forget. Like, there's a time, it appears, that life moves in seasons or in rhythm or in circularity. It's simply the Ecclesiastes version of the observation that history tends to repeat itself, and those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat history as well. God has ordered the world this way, and initially that can be really good news. It's good news, especially if you're in a season that you don't like very much. Well, the good news is it's just a season. But if you're in a season that you'd rather not emerge from, if you're in a good moment, if the job is good and life is good and your body is healthy and things are good, you want things to remain good. But the sovereign, self-giving God sustained us through every season. And that means this season that you're in is going to end. One of the things that shows up as a theme in all of Qohelet's speeches in this book is the fact that time and chance and death are coming for us all. And today, as he's meditating on time, he wants to show us that there's a rhythm to it, there's a season to it, and to demand of the world be different than it is to exert ourselves in a Sisyphean task. I don't know if you know the myth of Sisyphus, but he was doomed by the god Zeus to roll a stone up a hill, and the offer was, as soon as you get the stone to the top of the hill, you can be released from this prison. But he arranged the prison such that the stone could never reach the top of the hill. Hevel, vanity, absurdity, pointless striving after the wind. That's what time can seem like if you see its seasons as circular. That's why this expectation that we have that life's always only ever going to be better than it was the day before, or if you just pray the right way, or if you just believe hard enough, then every day is going to be better than the day that came before. It is to demand of existence a thing that God's very word says is not possible. But the good news is, even in times that seem absurd and vain and hevel, the sovereign, self-giving God sustains us through them. Let me show you what I mean. Now, we know that we're all bound by time, and at some point, this all starts to look familiar. For me, it happened in my mid-20s. Maybe for you, it hasn't yet happened. But don't worry, it will. And when it does happen, when you see that there is a time and a season for everything, initially, this might seem like good news, but it means that we dance to a tune not of our own making. That as much as we in America love to talk about, you know, our self-driven, entrepreneurial, kind of we decide our own destiny sort of stuff, there's a whole lot that you cannot and will not control, and an attempt to control it will fail you. It also means that we exert ourselves in toil that, given enough time, we may be undoing later. He says there's a time to put together and a time to tear apart, a time to forgive and a time to be angry, a time to embrace and a time to push away. That all seems like hevel. And so in the face of that, we have a few really unhealthy responses. Some of these may seem familiar to you. The first unhealthy response is to look at that and just go, Que sera, sera. What will be, will be. It's the approach of the lazy river rapid. If you've ever been to a water park, then you have seen something like the lazy river. It's always my favorite ride at a water park, mostly because I really hate water parks. But you get in it, and you just float along, just enjoying the view. Or in the case of most water parks, not enjoying the view. But whatever. You let the slowness of the rapid carry you along. One unhealthy response is just to throw your hands up and go, well, all of life is absurd. I'll just let happen whatever happens. And initially that sounds very casual, very laissez-faire, but the outcome of that is waste, a wasted life, wasted energy, wasted youth, wasted wealth, wasted potential. So some of you are like, well, I definitely wouldn't do that. And you go to the second unhealthy response. The second unhealthy response is to plan and control everything. Control, control, control. Man, I can't live my life unless I've got everything scheduled down to the T. Now, I'll be honest with you, because the name of our church is Aletheia, and that means truth, which means I really shouldn't lie to you, especially when I preach to you. I'm far more like this one. In my flesh, I want to control things around me to make sure that I get my best life, at least. And in these parts, probably more of you are like that than not. But of course, if you try to control time and you try to control your externalities, you are doing the very thing that Ecclesiastes said is not possible to do, which means you will end up stressed, anxious, frustrated, and very unhappy. A third unhealthy response to the fact that life is seasonal and somewhat circular is to try and know everything. Is knowledge, is to seek out a consilience of knowledge about all things, is to try and climb above the clouds and to see what only God can see, to make God show you his plan. Some of you do this by getting really smart. Some of you try to do this by getting really wise. Others of you do this by trying to get really theological and try to explain absolutely everything that happens in the world. But of course, that's impossible. Only God sees everything. In fact, that's part of what the scriptures say right here in verse 14. It says that only whatever God does endures forever, and only he can see it. Commenting on this passage, one of my favorite biblical scholars writes this: "We catch these brilliant moments, but even apart from the darkness interspersed with them, they leave us unsatisfied for lack of any total meaning that we can grasp. Unlike the animals immersed in time, we long to see them in their full context, for we know something of eternity, enough at least to compare the fleeting with the forever. We are like the desperately nearsighted, inching their way along some great tapestry or fresco in an attempt to take it in. We see enough to recognize something of its quality, but the grand design escapes us, for we can never stand back far enough to view it as the Creator does, whole and entire, from beginning to end. To everything there is a season, and only God can see all of it. And an attempt to try and understand all of it will only leave you proud if you think you do, and foolish once you realize you don't." Which takes us to a fourth really unhealthy response, which is simply to attempt to saturate every moment, to oversaturate every moment with specialness. Now, I realized early on as a parent that time was fleeting. And I vividly remember when my oldest child, Alana, was very little, that I felt this strange pressure to make every single moment with her super special, ultra special, like uber special. And so we were gonna read all the right books together, and we were going to make sure that we caught every moment on film. And I had to show up, you know, at dad level 11. And I remember God speaking to me through the voice of my wife, which he often does. And she came to me once and she said, "You know, Adam, when you try to make every moment special, none of them are, and you ruin everything." Praise God for a wife that tells you truth, especially if you're me. But she was right. I can't oversaturate every moment with specialness, because not every moment is special. Some are and some aren't. Some are wonderful and some are just going to the grocery store, and they are very normal. So what do we do with that? If life is seasonal, and if there is a season and a time for everything, what Kohelet wants us to see is that only a sovereign good God can sustain us through any season. And so he moves on by reminding us of this. in verse 9. What gain is the worker from his toil? I've seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He has also made everything beautiful in its time and put eternity into man's heart. See, that piece right there, that eternity that God has put into our hearts, is the very thing that makes us beautiful and dignified and also crushes us. Because God has put an echo of forever in our hearts, we know that there's something more than just what is under the sun. That's what's motivating this whole book. All of Kohelet's frustration and cynicism is his realization that there's something inside him that nothing around him can possibly satisfy. Because only a sovereign and good God can sustain us through every season. But if we look for something under the sun to sustain us, we can't do it. We are asking of creation more than it can bear. And if we try to make something in creation, no matter how good it is, your wife, your kids, your money, your career, your church, sustain you all the time, you ask of it something it can't give. And you break it. And you curse it to ever displease you. So it is God who sustains us through every season when we realize that God has arranged the world in this strange and wonderful seasonal way. So he says, I perceive that there's nothing better for them than to be joyful and do good as long as they live, and that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. Do you realize that if you try to oversaturate every moment, or escape from every moment, or plan every moment, or even understand every moment, you'll never enjoy any moment? But if you will receive your season as a gift from God, whether the clouds are dark or the sun is out, whether the bank is full or you are in grinding need, then you begin to break into the thing I believe God is speaking to us today through this text, that only a sovereign and good God can sustain us. You see, here we read Kohelet saying, I perceive that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it nor taken from it. And God has done it so that people will fear him. That which has already been will be. And God seeks what is driven away. He's pressing us to say, like, look, this thing seems to keep going around in a circle. So we need God to take us through it. But Kohelet didn't know as much about God as you do and as I do. Because Kohelet only had part of this book. Kohelet didn't have Jesus. Kohelet didn't have the gospel. And Kohelet didn't know exactly how good and sovereign and self-giving God actually is. So he wraps up this way. Moreover, I saw under the sun that in place of justice, even there is wickedness. And in place of righteousness, even there is wickedness. I said in my heart, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every matter and for every work. Given the news of this week, many of you look for justice and righteousness and find only wickedness. Kohelet saw it too. And so in his heart, he settled that, well, I guess there's a season for the unjust and the unrighteous to pay their dues, even if I don't see it. So he says in verse 18, I said in my heart with regard to the children of man that God is testing them, that they may see themselves they are but beasts. Then what happens to the children of man and what happens to beasts is the same. One dies and so does the other. They all have the same breath, and man has no advantage over the beasts, for all is hevel. All go to one place. They're from the dust, and to dust they shall return. Now here we're getting the kind of perspective one would expect if one didn't know how good and loving and self-giving the God who ordains every season actually is. And so Hevel pontificates, perhaps God is testing us. And perhaps indeed he is. We will answer for every word, every thought, every action that we do before God in the end. There's a striking similarity that we have with the animals, birds of the air, or even flowers of the field. We all die. And eventually we all turn back to dust, man. That second law of thermodynamics is a booger. It's going to tear us all apart and take us down to our most basic form eventually. And he ends by saying this. So I saw that there's nothing better that a man should rejoice in his work, because that's his lot. He even says this in verse 21. Who knows whether the spirit of a man goes upward or the spirit of a beast goes down into the earth? For who can bring him to see what will be after him? Boy, That seems like a downer. And it is for him. And it is for you if you don't know the rest of the story. But I want you to see that only a good and sovereign and self-giving God can sustain us through every season. And what we see here is that Qohelet's discouraging ending question, like, who knows whether the spirit of a man goes up or the spirit of a beast goes down? Who has been to those places and come back to tell us? That question that is kind of offered as a cynical mic drop here in chapter 3 is answered by the Son of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, in the New Testament. He is the one who has gone up to the heavens. He is the one who has gone down into the depths of the earth, and he is the one who has returned from death, not only to tell us what it is like, but to offer to us forgiveness, life, and resurrection, and most importantly to this book, meaning beyond the sun. Meaning that isn't mere striving after the wind, meaning and purpose that goes deeper and further and lasts longer than anything that can be derived from any possible thing that is lit up by the sun. Only a sovereign and self-giving good God like Jesus can sustain us through every season of life. Why? Why is that the case? Because Jesus has been through seasons of life just as we. He's been through the child stage and the adolescent stage. He's been through the growing up stage. He's worked a job and swung a hammer. He's had to make ends meet. He's paid his taxes. He's been betrayed. He's been falsely accused. He's been victimized through injustice. He's been tortured and beaten and murdered and left for dead. And he's been raised. And he's been beautified. And he's been glorified. And he is offering to us today meaning and purpose and power and sustaining grace, because he, the sovereign king of the universe, the one who rules over every season, stepped in to some of the worst seasons so that we, who are dancing to a tune that we didn't make, who are victimized by Gollum's riddle, so that we could know the sovereign and self-giving God who rules over all the seasons, and one day join him beyond the sun, and one day join him in a renewed heaven and a renewed world that is good and worth maintaining faithfulness whatever the season. Listen, I don't know what season you're in. I don't know how hard it is. I don't know how great it is. I don't know how rich you are. I don't know how poor you are. I don't know what it's like to live in your body. I don't know what it's like to feel your emotions. I don't know what it's like to walk around in your skin. And we don't know what that's like for each other. But the amazing thing about following King Jesus is that he does know what it is like to be us. And the kind of being that we pray to, that we cry to, that we lament to, that we orient our lives toward in every season is not some mythical God in the sky who we hope one day will make all things right. He is the real, tangible, fully good God who, in the beginning, put his hands in the dirt to form us, who, in the middle, stepped down into the dirt to save us, and in the end, is coming again to this very dirt to redeem and renew and restore and to save us. That is the sovereign, good, self-giving God who can sustain you in every season. So today, what are you raging against? Are you the que sera, sera kind of guy who is floating through the lazy river rapids of life, hoping that just by ignoring everything, time will take care of itself? Repent. Trust Jesus. Are you the control freak with your calendar out, trying to make sure that you order your life so that you can control the seasons? Repent. There's one God and you're not him. Are you the kind of person who is trying to understand everything and get God's eye view on all of the circumstances? Repent. Be humble. Only God can see. Are you the kind of person who is shaking your fist at the heavens, mad that this is the season or your lot in life? Repent. Come to Jesus. Ask him to sustain you in these seasons, not as a wishful hope like wishing upon a star or writing a letter to Santa, but as the sure foundation of your soul, because in the gospel of King Jesus, we meet the one who can. We find the one who does. We get to know the one who walked through the worst seasons and walked through them, out of them, for us. The same Spirit that sustained him is now here to sustain you, man or woman of God. Only that kind of God, sovereign, good, and self-giving, can sustain you through any season. Now, some of you watching this, you don't know that God. You know what it's like to be frustrated with time. You know what it's like to look on that app and lament the years gone by. You know what it's like to fall victim to Gollum's riddle. But you don't know the God who can make sense of it. You don't know the God who can sustain you through it. And you don't know the God who has bled, died, and rose to redeem it. But you could. You could. As we close our time together, I want to invite you to respond. Before we step into a moment of worship, what do you need to do? Do you need to pray? Click that button. Ask for prayer. It's real. It's there. It's waiting for you. It's available, and we would love to help you. Do you need to turn to King Jesus? In whatever platform you're watching this, let us know. Call up your small group leader. Call up someone right now. Click that link. We'd love to pray with you and help you meet the one sovereign good God who can sustain you through whatever you're experiencing. Jesus loves you, and he's good, whatever season you're in. So let him, ask him, and invite him to sustain you with his self-giving presence through whatever season you travel.